Welcome to worship on Sunday the 3rd of July. Sing praise to God,
who changes our mourning to dancing.
Sing praise to Christ,
who offers healing to our sickness.
Sing praise to the Spirit,
who brings peace to our turmoil.
Sing praise to God,
who gives us strength for the journey.
Singing God's praises,
we come to worship and pray.
Healer God, bring your shalom to our time of worship. Weave your peace and your healing through our words and our thoughts this day. Flow through us with your presence and your love, that we may bring your presence and your love to all around us and to all the world. In hope and gratefulness we pray. Amen. Today's first reading is Psalm 30. Life's experiences have taught me that people need to be able to lament life's tragedies and sufferings. It's a bit like the need to let off steam. Without the opportunity to lament, our sorrow can turn inward and begin to damage our mental and physical health. As someone put it, the sorrow that has no vent in tears may make other organs weep. It's understandable that people should ask questions about God in relation to suffering. Lament is slightly different. Lament is how we talk to God during it. Asking questions and thinking about the relationship between God and human suffering is what our head is doing. Lamenting is more the work of the heart. Psalm 30 gives us permission to mix these responses. The depth of suffering endured in the psalm, whatever form it took, causes the psalmist to ponder his own mortality and reflect on the value of life and death. At the same time, the author shows us that the existence of suffering does not negate the good news that life is a gift from God. Psalm 30 is of crucial contemporary importance. One theologian puts it like this: in the world, With its modern sickness unto death, true spirituality is the restoration of the love of life. It is vitality, the full and unreserved yes to life, and the full unreserved love for living are the first experiences of God's Spirit. This awareness for the love of life engenders thanks, praise, and dancing. The psalmist prays to live and lives to praise. Listen to the reading from Psalm 30.
I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I shall never be shaken. Lord, when you favoured me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever.
Let us pray. Merciful God, you reveal yourself in mysterious ways. Those we have been taught to admire have proven untrustworthy, while those we have been taught to mistrust have proven to be vehicles of your love and grace. Those we have looked to for wisdom have proven to be false prophets, while those we have dismissed out of hand have been avenues of your truth. Wash us clean of our arrogance and presumption, and heal us of deeply held prejudices. Open our hearts to all who have generous spirits, humble hearts, and gentle natures, whoever they may be, and open our ears to the many ways you are speaking still. Let us join in the words of the prayer Jesus taught his disciples as we say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
God's anger may last a moment, but God's favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last the night, but joy comes in the morning. Rejoice and be glad, for our names are written in heaven. second Bible reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 11 and 16 to 20.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal those there who are ill and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven."
The task of the preacher is to look for relevance. And so we're always asking the question, what does this passage of scripture written about and for people of a few thousand years ago say to us today? In Luke's report of Jesus sending out the 72, the need for instant relevance is more than a challenge. To interpret literally the directions to carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, would be to offer advice that could be dangerously irresponsible. Then there's that strange comment from Jesus towards the end, which talks about the authority given to the 72 to tread on snakes and scorpions and not be hurt. It would be ludicrous to take this instruction in a literal way. One thing is certain regarding Jesus' instructions. It's clear that he's stressing the difficulty of the mission. And here there is relevance to our experiences today. We live in a world that's not particularly receptive to the Christian message, so that presents many challenges for us in spreading the gospel. And aside from the negative response of the world, our resources for reaching out are limited. The mission of the 72, or the 70 as some ancient manuscripts record it, parallels the mission of the 12 that we read about at the beginning of Luke chapter 9. But this mission expands the words of Jesus' commission and elaborates on the success of the venture. I want to highlight three aspects of Jesus' instructions and then look very briefly at his conversation with the 72 when they return from their mission or task. What's initially striking about Jesus' speech to the 72 is a subtle but important call for prayer. The information that there's a plentiful harvest and a slim workforce would suggest that what's needed is a direct appeal for labourers. Instead, the passage reads, "Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest." Later, Luke provides more extended instructions about prayer that I don't intend to look at today, but here at the outset of the mission, the 72 are told to ask the Lord of the harvest for a sufficient number of reapers. This way of responding to the challenge underlines the fact that the Lord is not only in charge of the harvest, but also in charge of sending the labourers, the authentic workers, those who will get the job done and reap what has been grown, are only those specifically sent by the Lord. This is not a place for self-appointed entrepreneurs who chart their own course and work as if the outcome depended entirely on them. The call to pray for workers clarifies who's in charge and under whose authority the labourers work. The 72 are obviously part of the chosen workforce because they are immediately told to get on with the job. Go on your way. Prayer and a sense of being under commission are important because the mission is tough. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves, says Jesus. We could hardly have a more vivid picture of the perilous plight of the labourers. There's no mention here of a shepherd to protect the lambs, but only reference to their vulnerability to the wild animals. This mission is to declare the kingdom of God is near. To declare the nearness of God's reign is not a popular theme everywhere, especially not among those in power who find its coming a threat to their own position and authority. They're inclined to react defensively, even with violence and brutality, because it's the only kind of response they know. The difficulty of the mission explains the detailed instructions about travelling light. When anyone enters an environment likely to be hostile, he doesn't want to be burdened with extra baggage or to risk too much with strangers met on the road. In so many ways, things become a hindrance and not a help. And as well as this, the one who is sent is not to make unnecessary trouble. Declare peace on every house you enter. Don't move from house to house as if you're searching for a more comfortable spot. Eat what's put before you, whether it's to your taste or not. In a word, keep yourself focused on what's really important and don't be distracted by issues of little consequence. The warning about the difficulty of the task is no way meant to detract from the absolutely critical importance of the mission. Both to the towns that welcome the 72 and the towns that reject them, they are to announce the kingdom of God has come near. To one group of people, it comes as a word of salvation. The breaking in of God's rule means deliverance and hope. To the other group, it comes as a word of judgment, a destiny comparable to Sodom. The stakes are high for those who receive or don't receive the labourers sent into the harvest. The importance of the mission appears again in our passage. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. The acceptance or rejection of the labourers becomes an acceptance or rejection of Jesus and God. In declaring God's rule, the 72 are engaged in a life or death business. According to Luke, the 72 report a joyful and profitable mission. Their announcement that even the demons are subject to them evokes from Jesus a spiritual interpretation, but also a word of warning. On the one hand, Jesus sees that the exorcism performed by the 72 constitute an assault on the heart of the opposition, Satan himself. The rule of the enemy is being overcome. The conflict between the lambs and the wolves is a critical stage in the larger war between God and Satan. On the other hand, Jesus warns that they must not become too preoccupied with their successes, but instead be content to be numbered among God's people. Their identity comes from their inclusion among a great and honoured group.
Me lie in pastures green. He leads goodness restores my soul.
And I will trust.
I will trust. I will trust in you.
And I will trust.
I will trust. I will trust in you.
For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delight, and I will trust.
I will trust. I will trust in you.
And I will trust.
I will trust. I will trust in you.
For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, for you are with me, and your rod and staff are the comforts I need to know.
And I will trust in you alone. I will trust in you.
And I will trust in you
alone.
Follows me, your goodness will lead me home.
Let us pray. Thanks be to you, most wonderful God, for all good gifts around us and within us.
We thank you for those mercies which nurture or heal us,
for life, health, and food,
for family, friends, and neighbours,
for curiosity, laughter, and the ability to learn,
for truth, courage, beauty, mercy, and forgiveness,
for places of care and healing for when we're ill,
for shops where we buy food and clothing and other necessities of life,
for places of administration and management,
for schools and libraries,
for theatres and cinemas,
for the countryside around us,
for places where we meet one another,
for the places we gather for worship.
We give thanks for our Christian heritage, the Bible, the sacraments and church fellowship, for the prophets, the martyrs, the evangelists, the scholars and the saints.
Above all else, for Jesus, our example, our Messiah and Saviour, by whose grace our names are written in heaven.
As we freely thank you, so may we also serve you willingly and cheerfully.
Lord, as we bring our prayers for others, we affirm our Lord's command to love our neighbours as we love ourselves.
On this day we pray, loving God, for people whose eyes are so clouded by misfortune that their eyes cannot see anything bright about life. We pray for
the insolvent business person and the deserted parent,
the workless worker and the rejected social misfit,
the neglected child and the dejected mentally ill person,
the prisoner sighing and the drug addict dying,
the persecuted Christian and those with doubts who are in despair.
God our helper, be to each of these an inner warmth and light, and bless all those kindly hands that reach out to them this day.
Loving God, you care for all your children. You know each one and hear each prayer. You know each house and see each need.
Give peace and wholeness to those in need this day.
Bring into your kingdom all who long for a better life.
bring meaning to those who walk this world searching for your light.
Bless your church here and everywhere.
Energize her witness and remind us of that great sending out into the highways and byways of a world starved of good news stories, in need of our story of a Redeemer waiting with open arms to receive the lost.
Inspire all with love for your house, zeal in your service, and joy in the well-being of your kingdom.
Where there is discord, we pray for harmony.
Where there is warfare, we pray for the safety of military and civilians.
Where there is breakdown in relations, we pray for reconciliation.
Bless with your comfort all who are in trouble or pain.
Heal those who are sick. Support those who are dying. Console those who mourn. And supply the wants of those who are in need.
And be near to those whom now we name in silence.
Amen.
Amen.
Servants of God, the Master proclaim and publish abroad his wonderful name, the name of victorious of Jesus extolled. His kingdom is glorious, and those of our Lord. God rose in the height, almighty to save, though hid from our sight, his presence we have. The great congregation his triumph shall sing, ascribing salvation to Jesus our King. Salvation to God, who sits on the throne. Let all cry aloud and honor the Son. The praises of Jesus the angels proclaim, fall down on their faces and worship the Lamb. Then let us adore and give him his right. All glory and power, all wisdom and might, all honor and blessings with angels above, and thanks never ceasing, and infinite love.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.